Hey, good morning, Calvary Chapel. Here we are. Well, you know what? It's morning where you're at, but it's late afternoon here in Israel. And before we get going, let's pray together right now before we get into the Word together right here in the land of Israel. Father, we pray that you would bless this morning, our gathering together, this service, Lord. We've come to worship you. We've come to praise you. And how awesome it is for us as a body to be linked together by technology right now, to be in the land of Israel, and to be in Chino Hills at the same time. So, Father, we pray that you'd bless this time of study, and Lord, that you'd use the setting that you've created to minister to our hearts as we consider, Lord, the foundation of our life. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you guys. Listen, why don't you grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. And as you do that, we're going to be talking about foundations. And I think it's really proper that we talk about foundations because of where we're standing. Behind me, to my left, to your right, is the Valley of Elah. This is it. And the great thing about it is, you guys, that the Valley of Elah is one of these great sites here in Israel that it's not something you have to guess about. It's not something, is it kind of like the Valley of Elah? Well, right where we're standing right here is the confirmed archaeological location of the great Valley of Elah. And why is that important? Because you know from 1 Samuel chapter 17 that in this valley is where a battle of epic proportions took place. And what I mean by that is the fact that the forces of the Philistines had gathered together. In fact, just to my right is the mountainside where they would have come from the region of Gath. You know that Goliath came from Gath. And the Philistine region, in fact, far to my right is Gaza and those regions where the Philistines lived. And so they would have come now here, right where we're standing, was an area that was given by God by promise to the children of Judah. We are in the tribe or the land of Judah right now. And then to my left, to your right, is where King Saul would have gathered together and amassed his forces. And this was the great standoff that you've read about. And if you haven't, please read it. There in 1 Samuel 17, where these enemy forces, the Philistine forces, had encroached into the land of Judah, which, by the way, the land of Judah is the land of praise. Think about that spiritually for a moment. The flesh, typified by the Philistines, moved into the land of praise, and they were forcing their pagan ways ever deeper into the land of Israel. And now we have Saul and his forces, the Israeli troops. They've come together. And this is the place where, of course, David, who was far behind you, where you're sitting now, behind you towards Jerusalem, towards Bethlehem, David would have come from the tribe of Benjamin. He would have come to see how the war is going. And you can read 1 Samuel 17 later. It's pretty awesome. But Goliath would have been chanting and crying and yelling and screaming out and taunting the forces of Israel. And of course, Israel were terrified by this one man, massive piece of military machinery standing over 9 feet 6 inches tall. And so David shows up and he begins to listen to what's being said. Now you might say, what does that have to do with 1 Corinthians 3:11? Well, it has everything to do with it. And this is what I want you to hear right now this morning as you are there in your Bible together with me. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And that is really key to what we're talking about here today. Why? Because every foundation has a basis. When you build a home, you build a home to settle the foundation. But listen, a good contractor will look to find out what he's going to build that foundation on. A foundation is for the foundation of the home, but what is the foundation founded upon? And so what I want to draw to your attention this morning, church, is this, that every foundation has its promise. If we're going to be putting concrete onto the ground, that architect first finds out that the ground beneath that foundation is firm. It's a rock. It's strong. And so keep this in mind. When we talk about the promises of God and the foundation of Jesus, understand that it's all about promises. It's all about promises. Now, first of all, the promise that God gave to Israel was a promise of a covenant. Now, you guys know that a covenant is greater than a contract. A contract can be broken. A contract is fragile. A covenant is altogether different. A covenant is based upon what someone promises to another. And so, the greatest promise of all, which not only for Israel, the people, not only for this land of Israel, but for you and I as believers, is this. That in Genesis chapter 15, verse 17, God speaks about a covenant of relationship with Abraham. It's a relational covenant. It's one that God says to Abraham, Abraham, I am going to make an agreement with you based upon my faithfulness. And so today you're sitting in church and you might confess that you have not been very faithful to the Lord. Now, you might be here today and you might be thinking, well, Jack, I'm brand new to the church. In fact, I'm even visiting. What is this faithfulness all about? Faithfulness who? Faithfulness why? Well, the Bible says that God is faithful. We, yes, desire to be faithful to God, but we often fail. The amazing thing about where I'm standing right now this morning for you, with you, is that this is the land of Israel. It is all about a land of promise. And God told Abraham, Abraham, I will establish a covenant with you based upon my faithfulness. I will make a promise to you, Abraham, based upon a covenant. And that covenant is one that God established by his own sacrifice. He did it as Abraham was there speaking with the Lord. He told Abraham, Abraham, build an altar. And Abraham built an altar. And God says, now Abraham put a sacrifice on that altar. And Abraham was faithful to put a sacrifice on that altar. And the Bible says that as Abraham was there gathered around that altar and waiting to make the sacrifice to the Lord, the day began to wear on. And the Bible says that vultures began to circle. No doubt they began to smell that a sacrifice had been made. And poor Abraham, he's doing everything he can to scare away these birds that would attempt to steal the sacrifice dedicated to God. And so Abraham is shushing them away and maybe he's clanging some things together. And the Bible tells us eventually Abraham is so exhausted, he's so tired, that he winds up falling asleep. And Abraham falls asleep at the very place of dedication. He falls asleep at the very moment where God said, I want a covenant with you. But listen, God was in that plan. As Abraham fell asleep, the scripture says that the Lord appeared. While Abraham was sleeping, imagine for a moment that Abraham is dead. He's sleeping. He's as dead. You know, the Bible tells us that why God established his covenant with us through Jesus Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Think of that for a moment. The Bible says that we were dead in our sins. So the amazing thing is this. Abraham is now unable to defend the sacrifice. He's unable to make the offering while he's awake. He's as though he were dead. God comes down, and the Bible says that as a lantern, as a torch, God passed between the sacrifice, and because God could swear or agree by none other than himself, for there's none greater than God, God made an oath with himself, which is an everlasting promise, a covenant, that God would save not only Abraham, but you and I through faith. And I find this beautiful because Abraham had nothing to do with it except to present it. He was to bring the offering. God took care of the rest. And in Genesis chapter 17, it's not only a covenant of promise, but it is a covenant that is a positional. It's relational. God says, Abraham, I want to know you. But it's also positional. And this is significant for us as Christians. Positional meaning this. That in Genesis chapter 17, concerning this land, that I'm standing in and you are watching me stand in. By spirit, we're together here right now. That positionally in Genesis chapter 17, God says, you see this land? Abraham, I am giving you this land by promise. It is a covenant. Now, much later, way later, Joshua's going to come here. Way later, David will be here warring against Goliath. That's way later. God promised this land to Abraham, which Abraham predates Moses. Abraham predates the law. Abraham predates so much of what you and I often think about, which is biblical. God says to Abraham, it's going to be by faith, Abraham. Now check this out, church. To me, this is awesome. You got to ask yourself this question concerning the land of Israel and why it's important to us. How is it and why is it that Israel is important to our faith today? Well, number one is this. God promised to Abraham this land. But there were people living here before Abraham showed up. There were people living here before David showed up. The Bible tells us that the Canaanites lived here. And all the various tribal states of pagan worshiping, you know, they worshiped idols. They worshiped many of the 360 Babylonian gods. This region was completely occupied, as was Israel. It was occupied by those who were pagan worshiping Gentiles. But here's the amazing thing. The first man to become a Jew, the first man to become a Hebrew, was Abraham. Abraham was a Gentile before he became a Jew. How does that happen? He was not born a Hebrew. He was not born a Jew. Abraham became Jewish, became a Hebrew by promise. Listen, before there was ever the law of Moses, there was Abraham. And God said, it's by faith, Abraham. Before there was ever circumcision, before there was ever the law, there was Abraham. Think of that. So, by covenant, not contract. You see, church, the law is a contract. The law says, do this and I will do the other. You do this and I will respond. That is a contract. A covenant, church, is altogether different. What you and I enjoy is a relational experience that is personal, based upon the promises of God. And here's the amazing thing. Jeremiah chapter 31, mark it in your Bible. Turn there if you would, I'll paraphrase it. Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 33. In the Old Testament, there's the declaration of what God has already done in your life. And this is an amazing thing. What God did with Abraham, he spoke about not only in Jeremiah 31, you say, well, Jack, didn't Jeremiah 31 come later? Oh, yes, it did. But Jeremiah 31 speaks about the relationship that you and I do have with God now. But Abraham was our father in the faith, the forerunner in the faith. So check this out. In Jeremiah 31:31, down to verse 33, God says, I will take you, Israel, who you didn't have me as a god. You wandered away. You left me. You worshiped pagan gods from Babylon. He said, I will bring you back to faith in me. And he said, I will bring you back into the land that I promised you. When did God promise Israel this land? Through Abraham. Through Abraham, this land was promised. But it gets even better. In Jeremiah 31, it goes on to say, I will do a greater covenant than what I gave you at Mount Sinai through Moses. Now listen, if you're in the sanctuary this morning today, if you're Jewish and you're visiting today, I want you to think right now. The God that I worship is a Jewish God. I worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm standing right now in the land of Israel. Keep this in mind. How does a Gentile like me become a believer in the God of Israel? Why is it that I trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, Jesus? How is that when I'm a Gentile? Romans chapter 2 tells us that those of us who trust in Christ have been circumcised not in the flesh, but in the heart. And you take Romans chapter 2, you take John chapter 3, and you take Jeremiah chapter 31, and you read those verses together, and this becomes the existence of the true Jew according to Scripture. It's circumcision of the heart. Abraham's heart had been circumcised by faith in the Lord. And God turned to him and said, I have now accounted, reckoned. God says, Abraham, I've done the math, and I have declared you righteous by faith. Abraham was circumcised much later. The law came much later. God declared him righteous before circumcision. God declared him righteous before the law ever came. How do you become righteous with God today, church? How are you righteous today? It's by faith in Christ. Now, again, in Jeremiah 31, the scriptures tell us, God says, I'm going to take that which was written on stone and do away with it. Listen, the law was good, holy, and righteous, but you couldn't keep it all. In fact, the Bible tells us Paul the Apostle, the great Jewish Rabbi Paul, a member of the Pharisees who became a Christian, said that concerning the law, he was blameless. Well, it doesn't mean he was sinless, but he kept everything right, but he would have to go make sacrifice to cover his sin. Paul goes on later to say that by the works of the flesh shall no one be justified before God. So the amazing thing to keep in mind is this, church, as we stand here together, is that the ultimate promise is a covenantal relationship that is based upon not only a relational relationship with God personally, but a positional one in two ways. Number one, it's amazing to me, the Jewish people are being called to Israel from all over the world right now as we stand here. It's probably in the news today, or if not, it won't be far from it, that Israel is building more settlements. Israel is having to build more buildings. You've seen that in the news. It's one of the big arguments of contention between Israel and the United States. Let me say between Israel and Barack Obama. No more settlements. No more houses. Can you imagine somebody telling the mayor of Chino or Chino Hills, you can't build any more houses. There's too many people wanting to move to Chino Hills. No more houses. Can you imagine that happening? Can you imagine Canada telling our mayor, you can't build any more houses? Well, right now we've got an issue where there are so many Jewish people moving from the world to Israel. Why? Well, God says in the Bible that I'm going to be bringing my people all over the world back into this land that I've promised their father Abraham. And it's happening now. We were talking to Moshe. Many of you know Moshe. Moshe was born and raised in Tel Aviv. And Moshe tells us he's almost 70 years of age. Watch this. We just came from a traffic jam downtown. Traffic jam of cars. Moshe said when he was a kid, he could count 3 cars in all of Tel Aviv. Now, it's packed, like New York City packed. Why? Because God's fulfilling His Word. The traffic jam is a fulfillment of God's Word. Me standing here with you is a fulfillment of God's Word. Because it's all based upon His promises. The foundation, my friend, is sure. Jesus is the ultimate promise and the promise keeper. So listen to this. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the Bible tells us there concerning, listen, especially if you're Jewish, Psalm 2, verse 11 and 12 says this, that we need to kiss the Son. S-O-N. Read your Bible. Read your Old Testament. Kiss the Son, lest He become angry. That's a reference to the Messiah. to kiss the Son lest he become angry. What an amazing statement that is, because the Old Testament speaks about what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 11:3, that Jesus Christ is the foundation. Look at this land. This land is the foundational promise given by God to Abraham by faith. We're standing in it right here. The battle that David had with Goliath right here. How could David, a young man, whip a 9'6" tall Philistine by faith? David believed what God had spoken to Abraham, God was going to keep. Think about it. The same Old Testament you've got in your hand, those promises made to Abraham, found in Scripture in Genesis, David knew those promises. David acted upon those promises. David had faith and figured out, hey, guess what? There's a bunch of uncircumcised Philistines that have come from the area of Gath. They've come from that area of Gaza. And they're in the land of praise. They're in the land of Judah. They have no business being here. David acted on that. Is that not radical? Isn't it sad, though, I say it's radical? Should be normal. David knew the Bible, and he acted upon the Bible. And 2,000 years later, well, hey, 3,000 years later, we're talking about David right here. Why? Because foundationally, the promises of God are sure and steadfast. So, put it together this way. Abraham, it was all about promises. Promises are all about love. Moses was given the law. It was based all about performance. And yet, even after performing the best you can, being as good as you can, being the most respectable person, and we're happy that you are, being the most civil person, and we're glad that you're civil, being the kindest person that you can be, and we're glad that you're kind, you can't be accepted into heaven based upon your own works, based upon keeping the law. That's why God gave in the Ten Commandments, the first law of all, number one, is that we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and have no God before Him. But we fail before we even get started. God didn't give the law that somebody might walk around and say, I'm justified. God gave the law to show each and every one of us that we can't save ourselves. It's got to be by love. It's got to be by promise. It's got to be putting our faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, in John chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible tells us that the law came through Moses. And that's great. But that verse also goes on to say, but grace, truth, has come through Jesus Christ. Moses was a man of God, yes, but the Bible has Moses pointing to the Messiah to come. Abraham, a man of God, yes, but Abraham points to the Messiah. It is a wonderful thing to think about, church. So, listen, here we are, and this entire region, as the tour continues, our feet will tread upon the land that God promised to Abraham. We're fulfilling the Scripture by being here. And you're fulfilling the Scripture by watching. And so we're glad that you're with us. Next Sunday, we'll be back with you again. And we'll be at a different site. So listen, I want to pray with you right now. Father, I just ask you right now, between 8,500 miles of distance, but brought together by not only technology, but by your Holy Spirit and by the Word of God. I pray right now, Father, that as this church begins to worship you in closing and fellowship together, I pray, Father God, that we would all commit to praying for Israel, because your Bible tells us to, for one thing, and that we would bless Israel. Your Bible tells us that if we bless Israel, you'll bless us. And Lord, that those in our culture and those that are around the world that maybe for even to themselves unexplainable reasons can't figure out why they're against Israel, would realize that they're kicking against the very God of Israel. And maybe today you need to make a commitment to Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would do that right now. Close this out. I'm just going to ask you right now, that you would just worship the Lord with all your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.